In today's world of orthodontics, practice management software is a must. PM solutions are designed to streamline day-to-day tasks and help doctors keep track of information about their practices and patients. Info like patient records, medical histories, appointments, insurance payouts, and billing codes. In fact, it's probably safe to say that if a doctor isn't using a software solution to manage the practice, he or she is probably often distracted by the day-to-day operation of the business and not providing the highest level of service they should be. But with so many options to choose from these days, how do you know which solution is right for you? We're taking an in-depth look into one of those options today, so stay tuned. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of OrthoThrive. Today we have Jake Julek joining us. In his 13-year career, Jake has worked with Televox and Cloud9 Ortho and is now the president of Greyfinch Orthodontic Practice Management Software. He's here to tell us all about his innovative solution. Jake, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so it's a great time to talk about practice management. We're at the end of the year. I think a lot of these decisions need to be made. So why don't you just start by telling us a little bit background of your dental experience in the orthodontic field?
Yeah, thanks. Well, as you had said, I started my career at Televox in the dental and ortho space on that side, and then left there to go help start up Cloud9 Ortho. I think I was one of the early employees there. And so I was there for about 4 years and decided it was time for a change and left to come help start Greyfinch up at that point. And, really kind of take a different approach to practice management software than I think has ever been taken, in this industry. Of course, the history of the different practice management software. So it's been, really a lot of fun and a lot of hard work to get to the point that we are today. And we have a lot of really exciting things on the horizon in 2021 as well.
Do you think everyone has a practice management software at this point, or are there some practices actually with none at all?
Is it just you don't run into many. I don't think I've ran into any with none at all in a really long time, but you do still run into orthodontists that started out with like a dental practice management software. Mm-hmm. Either they bought the clinic that had that, and so they want to switch, or right out of school is cheaper for them. And, so they got a dental software, but once they get to a point, they realize that a dental software is not made to run an orthodontic clinic, and they have to, make that transition over into the, a true orthodontic practice management software.
So what are kind of like from a 50,000 foot view, what are the main reasons they should have a good ortho practice management software? What do they need?
Yeah, for sure. So the, treatment planning is a big part of it. Obviously in the dental space, if you had a dental practice, it's a lot different than the orthodontic practice or, profession on the treatment plans. Also the way the financials work is a lot different as well. From the patient's experience, from them, setting up on auto drafts and have recurring payments every single month in most clinics. To also the insurance billing is a lot different than, dental and that kind of stuff. So once they get to that scale and they realize like they can't manage it, they realize they quickly need a really full feature practice management software that can help them, continue to grow.
Also, even when they have one that's not working for them, it's almost like not having one at all. I mean, a lot of these processes were just, you're going to have to go back to paper processes, for instance, and billing, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing is a lot of right now with the existing practice management softwares, the majority of them can handle those types of things, right? The electronic billing and that kind of stuff. But what they're struggling with is new features for like the patients and innovation from that standpoint. And a lot of it stems from how those were built on the back end and how they're architectured. One of the things that always was crazy to me in my, years of experience in this industry is how many people said, I want patients to be able to schedule online. And it wasn't until I kind of got into this more and really got under the hood of the different practice management softwares and understood why, yeah, sure, they would love to do that, but it's really hard because of, limitations on how they were originally designed in the back end and all that.
Oh, that's interesting. And so, yeah, it seems like such a simple request, Every other business can just go do it for $20 a month and a little piece of little widget on their site.
That's right. It's crazy. And so it's like, okay. So when we started to work on Greyfinch, we were like, okay, we need to start from scratch and think about all these things up front. And so we went through all that stuff with our CTO and, you know, all these different things that we wanted the software to be able to do so that they could architecture the software, which is a really important piece when you're doing it. And it's really hard to go back and change that, especially after you maybe have, you know, 500 users on your software to go make something big like that. And you've been continually building on top of that. If you didn't do it right from the beginning, it can pose a lot of problems in the future.
Oh, so you really can, you'd be like the most modern, innovative software in that sense, because it was created when these problems arose in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, we'd like to think so. That, I mean, we designed it that way, right? You know, yeah, to your point, we made sure that it could do this, because one of the things that I think is different than the way that we approach things than how traditional practice management softwares have traditionally been approaching it is they just care about the clinic, which is a very important piece of it, right? Make sure you have good treatment planning, make sure you have a good scheduling, all that kind of stuff. But everybody forgot about the patient. What is the patient's experience with the software? Mm-hmm. They need to have an experience with the software. And why do you need to have five different third-party add-ons? Because that's, to be honest with you, the practice management, traditional legacy practice management softwares allowed there to be a huge market for all these different third-party add-ons because none of them were doing any of this innovation. And so that's why you have a lot of doctors reach out to us and they're like, I am, and when I took a step back and I looked at my monthly bills of what I'm paying a lot more than I thought I was for practice management, because it's not just your practice management software you're paying for, you're paying for these five other add-ons. And, you know, to be able to do what you want to do. And they don't usually do it that well because, again, it's an add-on. It's not fully integrated and you don't have full control.
So what were some of the reasons you decided to start a new one? What were the things you weren't seeing that people needed?
Yeah, so we wanted to make it so that, number one, the patient experience was much different than what they currently have with different practice management softwares. And we knew there was a demand out there as well for that. Yeah. There's also the side of, you know, the larger groups, orthodontic groups out there. You know, there's more and more that are growing and you know, combining and joining, and, you know, DSOs are now doing ortho, either by via acquisitions or, you know, just starting ortho in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there is no practice management software is really set up to be able to support those types of large groups in a good way.
Oh, I've never heard of that. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So what some of them, you know, we work with some, there's some that are using some other solutions and, you know, from we've been talking to them and, you know, not necessarily thrilled with those other options out there. And so that's where we've kind of been able to come in, and the way that we handle everything, again, it's from the architecture standpoint, scalability standpoint, how we do reporting is a lot different than traditional softwares, because there really wasn't one built. You know, the problem is in this industry, right? It's not huge, right? Orthodontist, you know, there's only 10,000 or, you know, so orthodontists out there. And so you don't have a lot of new softwares coming out every year like you do in other industries. So, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot out there. And so when we designed ours, we made sure that we built it with the larger groups, you know, in mind as well, too, from that scalability, from the reporting, which is extremely important to them, you know, in mind as well. So,
yeah, well, show me the metrics. That's what I always say.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to see the data. So going back to the patient management experience, like a patient experience, like what was it like before, and how's Grayfinch made it better? You know, what are the differences?
Yeah. Well, before, you know, patients could not, you know, anytime you go to, well, you guys work on websites, right? You know, anytime, you know, you probably always had some sort of a schedule an appointment and they fill out a form, right? You know, and then that gets submitted to the clinics. And then they have to turn around and call that patient or try to chase them down to then schedule the appointment. So the first thing we did was built an embedded appointment widget that can be dropped into any website via an iframe. So it can be embedded or it doesn't have to be. It also could be, you know, open up in a new tab if you want, you know, if the user wanted to. But now new patients are able to actually schedule their appointments instantly, and it's automatically inputted into the practice management software. So if you think about you as a patient, you know, put yourself in a patient's shoes. When do you have time to research this type of stuff? At least for me, it's usually at night. You know, kids go to bed. I'm starting to look through everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Starting to, you know, that. So I'm online.
I can tell you that just from the missed call reports I go over every month with my clients. Like,
that's right.
Look at these missed calls. Well, let's see what time of day we were. Oh, I see. You guys were.
Yeah. Open.
It was on a Friday. You know, most offices are closed on a Friday.
That's right. I forget to mention that sometimes. Like, do you work on Fridays? No, you're missing a lot of potential patients. Mm-hmm. But if you allow them to schedule their appointment anytime, day or night, you know, 24/7, 365, their new patient exam, you're going to see an increase. And we've seen it in the numbers. On average, our clients have seen a 60% increase in new patient exams scheduled since implementing our appointment widget.
60%?
60%.
With no other changes, just
that's right.
Implementing this appointment widget?
Yep.
Oh, that's very
because patients are able to instantly schedule anytime. One of our customers redid their website from scratch and built it all around the appointment widget. And when they did that, it was a 300% increase. It was insane.
What? Oh, that's interesting.
Because they did the whole thing around, like, you know, schedule your new patient exam, you know, because that's who's going to your website, right? Your patients in treatment, they're not usually visiting your website much. They're already a patient. They know you, you know, unless
you have a really good inbound marketing strategy.
Yes, that's right.
You know, make that appointment for sure.
That's right. And so, you know, it's a lot of new patients. And so if you can get that in there, so that was the first thing we did, and we're seeing huge success and their huge ROI, you know, for our customers on that side of things. And then the next thing we did is say, okay, who likes filling out paper in the office, right? Well, nobody does. Well, traditionally, these other practice management softwares, one thing that we did and think a little bit different is, it's like, you know, okay, it's basically like a fillable PDF, right? Where they still got to take the data and they still got to look at it, and then they got to input it into this field over here.
Well, yeah, it's yet another instance where an admin has to do database entry, which everyone loves, right?
That's right. That's right. And so what we said is, like, well, why do they have to do that, right? Why is it not just automatically drop in? And so I like to say we do things the right way, not the easy way. And so what we ended up doing was creating API endpoints, which means essentially everything that the patient does when they're doing their medical form electronically or their new patient onboarding paperwork is automatically dropped into our software. Like, it's put it, we have a spot, and when we go through the software, I'll show you this, but we have a spot where there's a medical tab and all their information. If they mark that they have a heart murmur, it automatically creates a medical alert and marks it in there in their chart for them.
Nice.
So nobody has to do that. There's no errors or anything like that with data entry, to your point. So, and then, you know, the other things that we've done, so that makes the experience better. And the patient forgets to do it ahead of time. The clinic just sends them a text when they get to the clinic, or an email, and they just do it from their own mobile phone. So the clinic,
texting comes from the patient management system, and then it just integrates.
Right.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And then, you know, that way, then the clinic doesn't have to keep iPads around, and especially with COVID, sanitizing all that stuff all the time, you know, the whole bring your own device thing is really the direction that we're headed. And that's the way we're pushing all of our stuff.
I mean, anything to reduce time in the waiting room too. You want as few people in there for as little time as possible.
Yep. Well, so then what we did is with COVID hit. So, you know, that all that stuff had been done last year, the end of last year, we'd rolled all that out. Then this year, we're on track, we're getting some stuff done, and then COVID, right? You know, March. So what we ended up doing was taking a step back and said, well, what do our customers need? You know, what can we do to help them? You know, we have this roadmap, which is what we want to do, but is that the best thing to be doing for them at this moment? What do they need to help them survive?
Yeah.
And so we took a step back and we implemented telehealth. So we actually have that completely built into our software so that people can do video calls with patients.
Really?
Right, directly out of our software. Yep.
Interesting. So is it HIPAA compliant, I assume, because it's in the software, right?
Okay. That's right. Yep. And the provider that we use, the third party, is HIPAA compliant as well. Obviously, so that's important because there's a third party that's managing those video calls for us behind the scenes that we work with. And so, but there's no software to download for anybody. It's super simple. The patient gets a text or an email automatically with the link in there, and there are time that they click on it. And the clinic just opens up the appointment, clicks on the link, and they're talking to that patient without anything to download. So that was a big thing. We also built mass rescheduling. You know, we had clinics that were calling us like, Jake, how do you recommend rescheduling all these patients, right? We got like 15,000. We were closed for 6 weeks and, you know, we got 5 locations and whatever it is.
I remember talking about that to all my clients,
So we ended up building a new app that essentially what we did was is took all those patients that hadn't been seen, and they all got an email and or a text asking them to schedule their appointment. And so we saved tens of thousands of dollars in staff time for our customers by building that so patients could reschedule themselves without having anybody have to do anything. And then we took that and implemented that into the software. So now after the treatment coordinator is done, for example, the assistant or whoever is seeing that patient, they're done. They can just text the patient a link and they can just schedule the phone while they're sitting there in the chair, or they can text it to mom who might be waiting out in the car, you know, with the COVID stuff. They're not allowed in the waiting room anymore. A lot of them, you know, depending on the age. So, so we're trying to keep going. And then, you know, we just released our two-way SMS feature, which is HIPAA compliant two-way texting, all built into our software as well, which has been really exciting. There's third parties that do this,
Absolutely. You know,
but no practice management software that I know of has this built-in HIPAA compliant two-way SMS, so that it's seamlessly integrated. And the beautiful thing about us doing it ourselves is the fact that we're able to control all this. So we can now start pulling in when that person sends a text message in, we can start pulling in, you know, their financial information, their future appointment information. So it gives us full control over it, and is really exciting. And that's just the step. I mean, we're about to launch, which you guys will probably like this, a reputation management piece where after the visit, the patient automatically gets an SMS and they're able to rate the clinic, you know, and then if the rating's high enough, they'll be asked to leave a review for that clinic then. And if it's low enough, they'll ask for feedback on what they can do to get better. And so that can help automate all that. And clinics will be able to capture Google, Yelp, and Facebook reviews that way.
So they will go to Google, Yelp, or Facebook. It's not just an internal piece of software that the review's on. Because that, to me, from a marketing point of view, that is so important. I mean, it's nice to have a lot of reviews and some random piece of software, but the public.
Yeah, no, we didn't go that route.
Yelp. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the thing. And that's that we talked to a bunch of our customers and some marketing, you know, some marketing experts, and they said, just push them directly to those sites and get them to leave the reviews on there, because those are way more valuable. So the clinic will get to pick. They can ask for all three. They can ask for one, you know, it's whatever is big in their area, you know, kind of varies on the.
Well, yeah. And some doctors have, you know, they've been putting a lot of time and energy into Facebook. So the Facebook looks fantastic and they've got five Google reviews. And one of them was one star from someone 10 years ago and it's killing them and they don't even realize it. You know, those, it's nice to be able to choose.
Yep, for sure. So yeah. So those are some of the things that we've been really, when we talk about what's the patient experience, you know, they're able to text with the clinics, they're able to schedule themselves, they're able to leave reviews, which is probably more beneficial for the clinic. But on the flip side of it, the patient's also able to give feedback on how their visit was, you know, without, you know, traditionally, you know, you could send surveys, you know, and stuff like that, or again, use a third party,
That's true.
For those kind of things. But why not just have your practice management software? Real quick, funny story. When I was at Televox, I was actually like, man, I got to get out of this space. You know, they did like, you know, appointment reminders and like patient portals. They actually did, I don't know if they still do, they were doing websites back then. This was, you know, years ago. Anyway,
I've seen a few. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I got to get out. Practice management softwares are all going to do this. You know, why would they buy this third party add-on? It makes no sense, you know, that a practice management software wouldn't start doing these things. But I was completely wrong. Until Greyfinch, there wasn't a practice management software that was doing these things. So
that's interesting.
You know, that's kind of, I was definitely wrong on that assumption. So
in any of these like widgets that are on the site, can you brand any of them with your colors, or is there any customization that can be done to them?
Yeah. So the, yes, you can, we can do colors and stuff like that. The appointment widget is actually just can be embedded right into your site. So it makes it nice that you can just do that. And then it keeps, you know, everything all branded, and I'll show you guys what that looks like when we go through that stuff. But it's, you can do some different stuff with the colors. We've talked about the logos and stuff like that's always hard because the sizes and shapes and, you know, like is it fit right? And, you know,
as long as it looks like it wasn't just slapped on there, I just want it to feel, from the customer's point of view, it should all just be the website of the practice. They just don't care about the tech, you know?
That's right. That's right.
So let's go back to the reporting. You said your reporting was a big differentiator, especially for these DSOs, but how, I mean, what makes your reporting different than others?
Yeah, great question. So we built everything that everything can be tied back to the treatment, which is a really big deal for DSOs to be able to see that, because in traditional softwares, nothing is literally connected. You know, if you cancel an appointment, that appointment is just gone. It's canceled. It has a status, but it doesn't live anywhere. You can't reschedule that canceled appointment. And so you can't actually see the history of an actual appointment in any of these other systems, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. And so those types of things by like not disconnecting everything. So when we were designing it, it's like everything needs to stay connected, you know? And so our charts and graphs that we have, you know, and ER diagrams that we do, you know, they're kind of crazy if you look at them, but there was a method to our madness. And so then that way, when you want to be able to report off something really specific about a patient's, you know, treatment or a clinic, a specific location, you can do all of that and tie everything back together. Cash flow waterfall reports are really important to these larger groups, and no other software can get those accurately. We're the only ones that can do that. The other thing that we did is built a data warehouse. So that is very unique in this space. I don't, you know, I'm not sure if the listeners know much about data warehouses.
Can you tell us, let's define a data warehouse real quick and then go into it.
I sure didn't know either. So, but basically what a data warehouse is it's a spot where you kind of, you take, you know, you have your normal database that you work out of, right? Your daily, you know, the stuff that you do in your software daily is getting recorded in a database. That's, you know, I call it your production database. What we do, a data warehouse extracts that data out, and you use ETL experts. That's who we've hired. It's extract, transform, and can't remember the L, but it doesn't matter. basically, then that data gets extracted out of the production database and then put into a data warehouse in a much more usable format so that you can then take that. And when I say usable format, what you do with the data warehouse is they're created of what are called cubes. So you have these data cubes, and inside those data cubes, you have all kinds of different endpoints that essentially allow you, they're called dimension and fact tables, but it makes it really, really simple for someone that doesn't know what they're doing like me. And, you know, I can't write SQL queries, you know, but I can go into a data warehouse and I can easily pull stuff really simple that I want and customize different reporting and really get analysis that I want. The beautiful thing about it that we did, because we put a UI on it, you know, like a user interface,
UI,
user interface on it for people to use. But what we're seeing is with our larger customers, they already have that. They're using Looker, Tableau, or, you know, there's a bunch of different BI tools out there, the business intelligence tools, they're already using these. And so we just give them access to this data warehouse, you know, with credentials, and then they can connect their own software to it. And so,
I mean, really for any integration that's worth its salt, it's much easier to build that connection integration later because the data is in a nice friendly place in the data warehouse. So you have access to it.
Well, and it's clean data too. So you can take that and you can essentially create whatever you want because it's nice and clean. It's understandable. You don't have to know SQL to put
I can tell you just a little bit of reports I pull because I need to know just as a marketing guy, I have to know what were your new patients last month so I can see if our marketing's working. Just that can be so painful. And it shouldn't be. It should be so simple, you know?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So it makes it much more simple and it makes it, you know, makes it for, you know, power users. I would say at our smaller clinics that use, you know, that use our software don't get into that much. They don't, the reports that we have that are just like stock reports and we have a report builder that allows them to kind of do, you know, build some custom stuff. Don't get into the data warehouse stuff. It's mostly the power users, the larger groups that want to see this stuff in a much more deeper try to understand their patients. You know, you could go in and pull, for example, you could pull patients within different demographics and different things and different treatment plans and, you know, which ones are actually better patients by age range, declines, all those kind of things you can start to like learn instead of just see the problem I always have with reporting is it's just like, it's just here it is. But what do you do with it, right?
Absolutely.
And so this allows you to basically create much more meaningful stuff that you can actually take more action on than, you know, just getting a report with like your total declines and all that kind of stuff. You can actually start segmenting your patients even if you want to try to, you know, start profiling from that standpoint.
But even if you're a small practice and not really using it to its full capability in the beginning, 10 years down the line, all that data is not in the data warehouse, right? So if someone wants to, you know, buy your practice and you're ready to sell, they're going to be able to, you know, analyze that data much more easily, right?
It'd probably be easier
to even the valuation of your practice because that data is there, I bet.
Yeah, 100%. You know, our tool also allows you the UI we put. This is what people are using in the smaller clinics, like the dashboard aspect of it. So they can create dashboards with inside of this data warehouse as well. So your daily dashboard with all your patients that are coming in that day, who has a balance, who, you know, whatever it is that you may want, you know, a lot of clinics have morning huddles. Okay, well, what do you talk about in your morning huddle? let's put that, if we can, let's put that on this dashboard for you, you know? And so then they can see that kind of stuff without having to look at different reports and pull it all together. It's just in one spot.
That makes sense.
So that's a really popular feature too.
Have you heard from marketing teams that they like to be able to access any of this data? Are they using it to make marketing decisions?
Yeah, for sure they are. Yep, definitely. That's where like those, you know, getting down and drilling down into the data, they're allowed, you know, they're able to do that kind of stuff. And they, you know, the referrals, treatments, all that kind of stuff, because a lot of softwares have like a referral report, you know, like to your point, but it's pretty like, okay, you know, is it actually, you know, it doesn't tell you everything that you may want to know. Like, let's get the age of the patient. Let's get the, you know, let's get the stuff that actually we can start interpreting the data to understand how our marketing is working. It's like, great, our marketing's working, but are these the kind of patients that we want to bring in? You know,
absolutely. I've talked about buyer personas several times through this series and other lessons. And if you don't have the data, we're basically just sort of guessing, which is fine. But if you've been doing it for years, it's all there. You should be able to just kind of nail it down.
Yeah, you're right. Because it's like, oh, this is working, right? But then you look and like, yeah, all those patients that we did that same marketing campaign for last year, all their payments decline, you know, 50% of their payments decline. Like, why are, we got 100 new patients, but, you know, so to be able to kind of start pulling, you don't have to pull a bunch of different reports together. And in our system, you would go in and like, check, I want this, 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 and this, boom, and it spits it out for you. So it makes it much simpler.
All right. So I think now would be a good time for the screen demo, because we're talking a lot about visual stuff and it's probably hard to kind of picture in your head. So why don't you share your screen and just show us, give us a little demo.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll go through this, you know, and I'll touch on a few different things. But the first thing we talked about earlier was that appointment widget. You know, that appointment widget is something that's really important just because we've seen such a great return. And we made it really simple. You can embed it into your website, but it also can be just on a page like this if you didn't want it to be in your website and you just wanted them to click over. One of the things that we did was, is for clinics that do take Medicaid, a lot of clinics actually have different new patient exams for those. So if they want to have this question, they can, they don't have to. It could skip this question if they don't want to. It just depends on the clinic and what makes the most sense. So we kind of talk through it with them. The next thing that we do is pull this up down. It's going to zoom in and all that automatically for the person. On this demo site, I don't have the address. That's why it says no, but notice it says in person. I told you we had virtual appointments built in. If we actually had that set up in our demo site, there would be an option here for a virtual appointment. So new patients can schedule a virtual exam if the clinic is okay with that. And so that is all built into the new patient appointment widget. And we're seeing a lot of clinics start to do that. A lot of doctors that are traditionally closed on Fridays, they're starting to do those for a couple hours. And honestly, they're using it as like lead generation. You know,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, the patients aren't quite ready to maybe come in person, but they want to ask some questions. And so they schedule that as opposed to coming in. And you can start to foster that relationship with that patient, you know, on those calls with them. And so
absolutely. And you could be, really for beneficial. Instance, in your, you know, you could be anywhere doing that from your phone.
That's right.
I assume.
Yep, I mean, for sure.
Big difference.
Absolutely. And so then it's going to ask them to pick the appointments. And this is all coming over from the practice management software on these available dates and times. Of course, this is our demo site, so we have all kinds of stuff opened up. This would only show the spots that you want new patient exams to be scheduled for. And then
so this is all instantaneous. So if you say you had two people working it on a Friday and one just did it 15 minutes before, that appointment will just go away.
That's right. And you'll see it in the schedule as well, too, automatically. Yeah. So see here, have a lot of patients in here, and it actually, so what we did when we first launched this, kind of a funny story, we didn't think about patients like coming back in and like, you know, adding another appointment. Well, what we found was patients would come in here and schedule, and then like 20 minutes later they'd come back and they just schedule another one thinking they were like rescheduling their appointment, I guess. I don't know, because that's what we found out.
They really did two appointments in the system.
Two appointments, that's right. So we quickly made some changes so it actually will recognize if the stuff matches and tell them that they can't schedule and they need to call the office if that's the case. So the system got smarter when we learned how people were using it, which is typically how it goes. So at the end, it asks who's, you know, you want to capture the responsible party's information. Yeah. So we can do that as well. But if not, you go ahead and confirm it. And then it's going to go ahead and schedule it. So if we come over that patient now, we go back in here and log in to my demo site. It logged me out for being inactive. But if I go in here and I just schedule this person right here, this one, Jake Tulick, yep, That's it. And there it is. And it's already, you know, if we come in here to the treatment area, this is the appointment I just scheduled. So it's in here right away. Now, the other thing that it then prompts you, as you saw, to fill out all your medical information. So then it's going to come over here and you're going to fill out all your medical information. Now, all this stuff, I won't go through it all because I just, for time's sake, bore you all with it. But essentially, it's going to ask you all this information. If it doesn't have it, you know, if it does have it, it'll skip it. And it's going to get all your stuff. So I'm going to skip a secondary number, but and I'll skip that. It also uses Google's APIs for the addresses. So you can have nice.
Oh, that's nice. It autofills.
Yeah. Yep. It'll autofill it. And then it's going to go through and ask all these questions that, you know, you typically would ask on your new patient forms. And so this patient of a general dentist, again, for time, I'm going to skip some of this stuff, but it's not going to ask me anything else because I click no. If I click yes, it's going to ask me for more information about that. So the system's set up to be smart enough. If I pick male, for example, it's not going to ask me, am I pregnant? You know, and so it's
good. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
it's smart enough to know those types of things. And so essentially it goes through and the patient just clicks through and this is all mobile friendly, what chief concern and all this stuff after I get done with it is going to be automatically, we have this medical spot here. It'll autofill all these things in here for me based on what I selected, all these medical conditions, your habits, your medications, your drugs and sensitivities. And if I did do that, for example, it automatically even creates these medical alerts too. So if I mark that I had a heart attack, it'll automatically create this medical alert instantaneously. So it's really nice. And then on the flip side, yes, I have a heart attack. It also puts in all the, you know, it'll put in my address and all that kind of stuff inside of here as well too. At the end, we actually even ask you to for your insurance information and we have them take a photo of their insurance card front and back and it automatically drops into the documents area of the patient.
Oh, that's
so it
nice.
Is true, you know, and then at the very end, it asks them to sign like your HIPAA documents. It's all signed electronically and that also gets stored in here. And then they get emailed a copy of that as well. So it truly is paperless and, you know, no extra work onboarding. You don't have to go look it up and pull it up.
Have you guys sort of estimated the amount of time saved doing?
Yeah.
I mean, more efficient.
Yeah. I mean, for the clinics, it kind of depends on obviously the, you know, what they were doing before and how they were kind of doing it, but most of them are saving an average of 10 minutes a patient, you know, by the time they deal with all that stuff and getting the insurance card and scanning it in and then having them fill everything out and then entering the information.
I mean, even then, 6 patients a day, is that what makes
that's
a huge
right.
difference? It's an hour.
It's huge. Yeah. And I think 10's honestly a little bit even low, but it's,
I do. Yeah. Not, just right? being nice. But, yeah.
Yeah. I like to be conservative on it and not, you know, try to make it sound too crazy. I'm sure some people already think my 60% increase in new patient exam schedule is crazy, but the data doesn't lie.
I know. That's why I asked you twice about it. 60%. Yeah. Okay.
No, we couldn't believe it either, honestly, when we started, you know, when we were doing the comparisons of everything. So it's pretty cool. So, so now that patient has had a great experience, they've onboarded, they scheduled online at 10 o'clock at night. They filled out all their paperwork ahead of time. So now they're ready to come into the clinic. And so we have this waiting area over here, our agenda bar. Now, traditionally, most practice management softwares have this big, like, takes up your full screen with the patients coming in for the day. It's a lot of wasted space.
Yeah.
When I was in clinics all the time, they wanted to have this open, and they also wanted to see today's schedule as well. They like to have this, and they like to know who's coming in. So we ended up adding it over here, and we even made this so you can move it or close it, hide it if you don't care about it. So this will tell you when the patient's coming in. Now they can self-check in via computer, iPad, whatever. We built some automation around that. So if they owe you money, specific, you choose, you control this type of stuff. It will not let them check in for their appointment. It tells them to go to the front desk. So when we did that, this is another kind of a cool, we like data here at Gray Finch.
Yeah,
but so one of the things we did once we implemented this, we actually were watching the logs of all the people that got told because they owed money to go to the front desk, right?
Yeah.
So then we said, well, let's, out of curiosity, let's wait 1 week after these clinics implemented this. Let's compare their collections this week to last week when they weren't using this.
That's like what I would want to know.
Yeah. Yeah, like a 20% increase.
Did it work?
Like,
20% increase. Oh,
it's crazy.
See, people, when I talk about automation, I don't think people get how awesome automation can work if you dial it in. It's those little things that you don't have to worry about that make a huge difference.
And we're not, I mean, we're scratching the surface on automation right now. We're just starting to like really get into a lot of that more, you know, like our plans and what we're, you know, in 2021, a lot of the stuff that we're doing is all about automation. We're huge believers in that. I don't think you can automate everything, but you can automate a lot. And, mm-hmm. you know, nobody's thinking like that. So, but yeah, so then the patient will check in and then the assistants will seat them, go ahead and start the appointment. And then from here, it's going to have their treatment card. So our treatment cards look a lot different, a little more modern than most traditional treatment cards that are more like look like a big spreadsheet.
Yeah.
So that's nice. With inside of here, this stuff's all customizable for the clinics. You have the diagnosis, which a lot of softwares call them questionnaires. So all that stuff is very similar, kind of functions the same way, you know, that traditional practice management softwares do. I was saying earlier, one of the things that we did is, you know, you have that next appointment. And a clinic can actually, you know, click and send a text message and they can schedule this appointment. So that's pretty neat as well. But the other thing that we did was build these treatment plans. So this is customizable. Every doctor can pick whatever, you know, set these up however they want and call them whatever they want. But these treatment plans are going to have all your appointments laid out for you for that treatment. And you can change these now. You can change them during treatment. It's your template that you can use. But doctors really like having this so they can kind of see what this, you know, what the treatment's going to be like for that patient. Then they don't have to, usually then the assistants there, instead of like, doc, what appointment do they need to come next? Well, it's already in here. You know, usually now the assistants are like, the appliance check next. And they're like, yep. And, you know, and they don't have to like think about it. It's already in there because that was part of the plan that they did for that patient.
Is this treatment plan very easy to change? Because I'm having a few of my clients, they're going down the road of dental monitoring. One mm-hmm. way or the other. So, you know, it's kind of moving all around. They're coming in when the data yep. tells them to come in.
Yeah, that's right. They are very, so yes, during treatment, you can remove appointments, add appointments, all that kind of stuff during, you know, that point. To your point with dental monitoring, yeah, you may not know when to come in. And so you have that estimated spot, but then once that actually happens, you can change it accordingly or add a different appointment, you know, if you need to or whatever that may be. So yeah. It's very simple to move things around and customize it as needed. So the next thing we do is this is where we're gonna set up our contract. And so we're gonna add in our insurance, which is gonna carry over all the data that we hit. So when they check that insurance, that patient has $1,500. So we know that patient's responsible for $5,325. And then we scroll down here and now this is the patient's responsibility. So now I'm setting this contract up. Traditional softwares looks like a big spreadsheet, ugly, hard to figure out how to set up, you know, these contracts. Yeah. So what we did is we said, this, to be honest with you, this, we built this right when the whole slider bar thing was kind of, you know, there's other third parties now that offer this. Yeah. We built it right into our software. And it's when you do this, you're setting up the contract for, you're setting up the payment plan. You're doing everything right here. And so the one cool thing, well, a lot of cool things, but what that I really like is the ability to change the installment interval. For whatever reason in orthodontics until recently, everybody just always did monthly, you know, intervals for their payments.
Yeah.
There's really no need for that. You know, there's really no logical reason besides that the software only supported that. You know, that's really,
I mean, that's true. I do my mortgage and my car payments twice a month just because I'd rather see it spread out.
That's right. And so we tell the TCs, like, ask them when their payday is and if they want it withdrawn on the payday. Does that make it easier for them to budget their money? And so mm-hmm. they can do that and they can set it up every second week, twice per month, or weekly. So, you know, a lot of common is every Friday and pick which day you want to start it on. And now it'll set it up and their payment plan will be set up every 2 weeks. And, you know, the patient says, I only can afford $150 a month. You can type that in and actually lock it. So now you can play with the down payment and the months in treatment. And it only moves those, you know, accordingly. And so.
So you're on the phone with the patient and you can just spit out the numbers, right?
That's right.
Instantly. That's nice.
And the Q1 of next year of 2021, we're actually, our patient portal will be, the patient portal was supposed to be done this last summer, but because of COVID,
yeah.
changed everything. So we're back at it now again, which is exciting. And it's almost, phase 1 is almost done. That should be out by the end of this year, hopefully. But shortly after that, we're going to release this, which patients then will be able to go and do all of this on their own inside the patient portal even. So
I was going to ask about that. I didn't know if that, I assumed it wasn't the case since I'm seeing it this way, but there are a few solutions that do that. Some doctors liken their process for the patient to choose what they can afford on their end, and they can pretty much go through the whole contract process themselves. Yep,
that's exactly what we're going to be implementing into ours as well, so that they can do all that. And they'll be able to electronically sign it, pay their down payment, set up their auto drafts and everything all through that portal.
Yeah.
And so then the staff doesn't have to do anything, which is awesome for them.
Yeah. I think people couldn't imagine that, you know, and then I go back to, you know, my car that I drive now, I got through Carvana and I was willing to make that kind of commitment. And I would have never done that 10 years ago. It would sound crazy if someone even told me to do that, but people are making these level of commitments totally online now. It's acceptable.
That's right. Well, you know, people are buying Teslas just in 5 minutes off their website. You know, it's like, that's just to your point. It's the same thing as, you know, Carvana. Like, you know, you're going on there and you're just buying a car on a on the internet. You don't have to go to the dealership anymore. And you know, it just shows up at your house. That's just crazy. Right. So everything's trending that way, especially we're not getting any younger. Right. And so that younger generation is going to continue to push us to do these types of things because that's what they expect, you know? So the next thing real quick is then it loads the contract. So then they'll be able to electronically sign this contract here on the next page and it'll drop everything in. It merges all that stuff in. If you need to edit it, you can before, but you can load in all your different stuff. A lot of people load in their, you know, informed consent in here and they sign everything electronically. And then you're going to go ahead and apply it and set up your auto drafts. So you can do that either via credit card or ACH. We obviously have all that built in as well. Okay. I'm just going to pick invoice to bypass that. And then it's going to get that contract set up. Now, it won't start the contract until they actually come in for that appointment that they're actually getting, you know, that you've marked as a customer as that. But it gets everything set up. So it's really simple and they can pay their down payment and everything.
Yeah, again, they're in the waiting room area for less time.
That's right.
Most of this is done already. Okay.
They do it all ahead of time. That's right. So, so that's a really quick, you know, overview of kind of the new patient flow, the 2-way SMS stuff. Can't remember if it even works on our demo site. Actually, I might have to go into our staging site.
So is that fairly new, the SMS?
Yeah, it is. Oh yes. So it pulled up. Yeah, it is. There's just no number set up on this demo site. It is new. We launched it actually just at the beginning of this month, end of October. Everybody's now moved over to this platform. So essentially you can send 2-way, you know, there's not a whole lot here being the demo site, but you can send 2-way. These, your inbox will be right here. And then in this middle area is where you're going to control your messages. Just real quickly, one of the things that always bothered me with the third parties that do SMS is they don't, a lot of them that I'm aware of didn't have like a status for these types of messages. When you think of you know, I got my inspiration from Zendesk, which is a support platform, right? It's actually what we use to manage all of our support.
Of course. I mean, that's premier stuff right there, Zendesk.
That's right. It's really good. And we really like it a lot. And, you know, one of the things that they have is different statuses for tickets. If you think of an SMS from a patient, you know, they send you an SMS, essentially that's like a ticket, right? There's an issue with something that they have or then you need a response. But you may need to have different statuses. So what we did is we built it so that you could have different statuses for these different messages. We have open, which means, you know, you're having an active conversation. We have pending, which means that it's waiting for, you're waiting for a response from the patient. So you've sent them, they said, I'll get back to you tomorrow or whatever. That way you can go review those later in the week if they haven't responded and follow up with them. And it's not clogging up your open, you know, your inbox kind of, your main messages, but it's sitting out there to remember to do something. On hold means that they're waiting for you to do something. The clinic. So the patient, you know, maybe they said, question about my bill. You don't have an answer for them. You need to check with somebody else. So you put it in on hold status until you have that. Again, checking that daily, weekly, make sure that those messages and those patients are getting responded to. You can do that because of the different statuses. And then closed, obviously, it's closed. So anyway, so that's, I mean, but otherwise it's like, you know, a normal messaging thing. But the cool thing that we did was not just think about SMS. We thought about everything with this and the back end. Again, I go back to the back end platform of this and the things that we did. We built it and designed it so that it can support multiple messages. So we'll be introducing the secure messaging. So you can do secure messages to other providers through here. We'll be introducing once Facebook Messenger becomes HIPAA compliant. I don't think it is yet because it's not encrypted end to end. We'll be able to add those in here as well too. So we're going to be able to support many different types of messages, not just text messages with inside of this, you know, our communications application. And so we kind of future-proofed it, you know, again, by the way that we designed it back end, thinking that we knew that all these other things were things that we're going to do.
Well, that's smart. Cause I mean, you never know what the fad is with these days with the communication.
That's right. You're right. I mean, the company that we work with, I think, has a WhatsApp one. You know, we could integrate with WhatsApp and have those messages. But in the US, people just don't use WhatsApp very much here. It's much more common over in Europe. And so we chose not to do
that. Yeah, my friend that lived in Prague for a long time always wanted to use WhatsApp.
You know, yep. Sense.
Yep. So speaking of integration, do you guys integrate with any other CRMs? In my world, if someone hasn't started yet, they're still a lead. So I want to, you know, I want to market and communicate to them. How does, do you have any of that yet? Is that in the horizon?
Yeah. So that is on the horizon. So actually what we're planning on doing is, so we're integrated with a company called, well, you might be, it's SendGrid is a third. Anyways, they're an email like campaign. And then, but basically if you're familiar with like MailChimp and you can see all those stats and if someone read it and all those, you know, all those different things, SendGrid has the same stuff. There's just no UI for it. And so what we're planning on doing is building out those automations. First quarter of next year, we're going to be building out what we call our tasks and automation stuff. So you would be able to go in there and build your flow for a new patient. They came in, you assigned them a treatment plan. They didn't start. Mm-hmm. What do you want them to do? Wait 2 days, then text them this message. Wait 2 more days, email them this, you know, and so forth and following up. Because you're right. A lot of customers have to use a full-fledged like CRM system, you know what I mean, to manage that follow-up. But that stuff's expensive. And number one, and most of them, you know, they're not integrated, right? You know, with that, unless, you know, you pay a third party to do that. So we're going to add a bunch of that stuff into our software in Q1 of next year to follow up. And it's not just for new patients. It's going to be for collections and all that kind of stuff as well, too. That those things, sense. I like to say the stuff that your clinics have to run reports for, let's eliminate 90% of those reports and just automate that whole process with tasks and, you know, and tasks and follow-ups and automated that communication.
What about forms on the site? So say I have an existing form system, they fill out a contact form. Is there a way to get that data into the practice management software?
Not right now. There is not. We've gone down that path of looking at that. It's the challenge becomes is all the different, you know what I mean, ways to do that, obviously, and making data consistent. you guys know that, right? And I mean, the different CMS platforms out there too, you know, I mean, there's obviously the top ones that people use. But anyways, we haven't done that yet. We've talked about it, but again, just other priorities right now. I think that we'll start to dive more into the marketing aspect, and it'll be fun to talk to you guys about that stuff when we get there.
Yeah, to me, just make it work with Zapier because everything works with them.
That's right. That's right. I mean, that's a very good point because that's an easy way. That's not the best way, but it makes it so that you can integrate with almost anything at that point. You know, so and they do a pretty good job. So for the most part, it works pretty good. Yeah,
cool.
I've had some problems in the past with stuff breaking, but it's not necessarily their fault. You know, it's the one company changed something here that we were trying to connect. So
yeah, I still have some zaps that have been working for years. And I've like, oh, I forgot I did that. And I have like this Google sheet with 10,000 rows of data in it. Okay, maybe shut that down.
It's kind of crazy all the stuff you can do that. You know, the zaps when you get
absolutely.
It.
I mean, the technology now is so it's overwhelming almost. So speaking of overwhelming, so people first see this, it might be a little overwhelmed to them and they say they want to move forward. What kind of training do you guys offer for someone if they got Greyfinch and they're new?
Yeah, so if we're converting a clinic, we're going to come on site and we'll be there for 3 days usually. And so he's basically depending on how big the clinic is, you know, it's depending on how many people we'll send to that training. And we come on site and do training. For 3 days with them, we usually do 1 day with no patients. In my experience, I have found that clinics learn a lot better when they're actually using it with patients, you know? So what we always do is do the first day without patients because you need that. But then it's light day, you know, like half 50% days the next couple of days.
Yeah.
And you kind of ramp up that week to start, you know, to get used to it again. And then after we're gone from that aspect, we have an awesome support site. support.greyfinch.com. And there's all kinds of articles and all that kind of stuff. Again, we leverage, you wouldn't know it unless you know, well, you might, if you're familiar with Zendesk, but we leverage their platform for all of that. And we have a bot on there too, chat, all those things that we even leverage the bot where, you know, someone sends in a ticket, you know, to the support and says, how do I post the payment? You know, the bot reads that and says, these are the articles that might help you. And it's kind of crazy how many of those like those bot answers, you know, actually the people mark, yes, this resolved my problem, because it's usually a lot of how to questions, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense, especially for something like this. There's got to be a lot of repeats. There has to be.
That's right. Especially with new staff, you know, because I mean, clinics have turnover. That's just the way that it is in this world, you know. So they get new staff members, they need to have them. And we do virtual trainings as well as needed as well. But we're there to help them and support them because we want them to be successful, because we know the only way that we're going to be successful is if our customers are happy, because this industry is too small to have people that don't like your software, you know, that'll, the word gets out really fast if that's the case.
Yeah. And so you guys, do you have a chat function right now that can be integrated in the site?
We don't in the, not yet. Yeah. So would love to do that, but we don't have anything. I mean, for support, we have chat, but we're just leveraging Zendesk, you know, their support stuff there, but we have not built a chat function in yet. We've talked about some different stuff. One of our guys is kind of working on a side project for lead gen. He's really into like, he's been taking classes on machine learning and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so he's been working on a way to kind of lead gen off of your website where the patient, you know, there's some other companies trying to do this where you take pictures and stuff like that. But he's going to try to leverage like a video better. And then that way the machine learning can take that and then suggest treatment options.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. So he's been,
I just noticed from those. Yeah. From a web developer's point of view, the chat and the virtual appointment widgets are literally colliding. And I'm like, where do I, there's two widgets that look like a chat. So if you guys do decide to do this, just keep that in mind, because they basically should all be in the same widget, I think, because there's, you can't put 50,000 widgets on top of someone's site. It's so overwhelming.
That's right. That's right. No, that's a very good point, because then it's like, yeah, then everybody gets confused and gets mad and just leaves the website.
Yeah, they do. And not to mention how slow it makes the page load. It's like, let's load the page, then let's load all the videos, then so load the three widgets. No, it's not going to happen.
Yep.
So what does a practice look like that is a good fit for Greyfinch, do you think? What would you say?
Yeah, you know, what we like is startups are great because they can get in early with us. They're easy because there's no conversion, right? You know, we like that because it's super simple for us to get them up and running.
Yeah.
But then they're also going to be leveraging the best platform and the latest technologies, you know, in their clinic. So they're setting themselves up for success. We also have a very low barrier of entry for them too, you know, from a cost standpoint. And then, you know, outside of that, obviously, we talk to a lot of, or and continue to talk to a lot of larger, you know, 5 to 10 to 50 location groups. But those take a lot longer, right? So you got to have some, you know, those types of processes and sales and decisions and want to do a trial and all that kind of stuff. And so those take time. So sprinkle in there is really a lot of clinics that want to grow, you know, the ones that have been on the same software for 15 years, yeah, you know, and haven't really done much. And they really want to grow their practice, but they're somewhat prohibited by their software because maybe it's server based. And so they want to add another location. Well, that cost just gets crazy then, you know, if you have to get a VPN then or terminal services and all that kind of stuff. And so then they look at other software options on that side of stuff too. So, you know, and I would say clinics, I mean, I like to work with clinics that want to grow. And not say that if someone, you know, someone's listening to this and they don't want to grow and they want to use our software, it's not like we're not going to be, you know, open to that. But people that want to grow are also kind of constantly thinking of different ways to do that. Yeah. And they bring a lot of great ideas because we can't think of everything. We're not the ones using the software. We're not the ones, you know, there with the patients every day. So those doctors that are kind of innovation, you know, innovative, really into heavy into marketing, you know, those kind of things, they're pushing us to do those things, to your
that
point,
makes
like
sense.
Get those integrate, you know, do it where the lead auto drops in and the follow-up emails and those kind of stuff. And those guys, those types of clinics help us continue to push the envelope and grow faster.
I think even if I have doctors that there's some that, you know, we've helped them grow, they're there and they don't want to open another office. So we're kind of going into phase two. Well, how efficient can we make your processes? Because the more efficient they are, the less time they need to physically be in the office. The more time they can help be actually working with the patients, the higher their margins get. So really it to me is a sort of growth. You're just kind of working on efficiency and processes. So anything that's going to make things easier for you and the staff and faster, I think is worth it.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Because yeah, growth is such a, when you think traditionally, when you think of growth, it's, you know, more patients, but that actually isn't necessarily true. Growth could just be growing your profit and that becomes because they're much more, you know, efficient in the clinics. Things are automated. You don't need 3 front desk staff necessarily anymore. You only need 1, you know, and because everything's automated and that kind of stuff. And not that you don't want people to have their jobs, but you know, you really, as a doctor, you got to look at that stuff and say, where can I pick up those efficiencies at and what can software help me with?
Yeah, absolutely. So is there anything else in store you'd like to talk about that you'd like to tease that's coming up for Greyfinch?
Yeah, so I mean, we kind of talked a little bit about the automated tasks. I think that's going to be a really big deal for us. I think that's going to be because it's almost going to be like a mini CRM system, you know, built into the software where you can build all this automation stuff, you know, in there. The patient portal is going to be something like nobody's ever done in this space, even third parties, because they couldn't. Patients will be able to schedule, reschedule, cancel within you know, the control of the clinic.
That's nice.
They'll be able to pay their bills. They'll be able to update their auto draft information. They'll be able to even change their payment plan. Again, if the office is okay with that, within their parameters that they set up, because when we talk to our customers, it's like, what kind of financial questions do you get? You know, a lot of it's money, you know, how much do I owe you? All that kind of stuff. But believe it or not, a lot of people call in frequently to just change the date maybe a week later for their payment plan that month. Or, you know, I want to pay double this month, and or I want you to, will you push this month to next month? I lost my job and I'm, you know, or something like that. And so we're going to allow
patients
to
make those
payments. Right.
Software should account for that.
That's right. So doing all those types of things, being able to access, essentially the goal of the patient portal is to make it self-service. All the stuff, 90%, 95% of the stuff that they call the clinic for, they should be able to do themselves anytime they want. And so that's really the envelope that we're pushing with the patient portal. So that's coming soon too. Then we got all kinds of other stuff later next year, but
that's exciting. Well, you're constantly innovating, as you should be.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So if someone's interested and they want to get in contact with you, what should they do?
They can go. I mean, they can go to our website, www.greyfinch.com, and there is a schedule demo button. It doesn't have to be a demo. It can be a phone call, you know, if we don't want to go through the software, but they can schedule a time to speak with us on there. Very simple, you know, whatever works for them. So it's self-scheduling, just like the patients, anytime.
Awesome. All right, Jake, it was great having you on the show. Really appreciate it. I learned a good bit, actually. It was a good talk.
Great. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And look forward to bending your guys' ear in the future as we, you know, dive into some of this marketing stuff too. So
yeah, looking forward to it anytime.
Great.
All right, sounds good. Take it easy.
Thanks.
This interview reminded me a lot of why we got into the orthodontic space. We noticed that things weren't quite innovative enough. Maybe they're a little behind the times, weren't comprehensive enough in the marketing space. And I think Jake has a similar opinion of the practice management software right now. He's building something that is right on the cusp of being as innovative as possible. He's trying to wrap everything up into one piece of software so we don't have to buy all these different pieces of software and integrate them together. So if you're looking for a practice management software, I'd say put Greyfinch on the short list, at least give them a shot, and see if they might be a right fit for you. So keep grinding, keep thriving, and I'll see you next time.